We will be learning about at-home COVID tests and what options look like on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, it is our spring member drive getting underway right now at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Gene Purcell. Hi there, Gene.
And good morning, Kate. Great to be here.
Good morning. We are here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
That's exactly why we're here. Listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on here on WPR, programs just like The Morning Show. And that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
You know, thank you so much for making WPR what it is today. We are here because of you and your generous spirit. So today only, all contributions up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of generous members.
Yeah, I'll say they're generous, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them and helping to support all of the work, all of the programming here at Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support for the programs you love when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has a number of important revenue streams to carry out our work. And, you know, when you get down to brass tacks, it is voluntary listener support that is actually the biggest percentage of support for WPR programs.
Yeah, some people are surprised to hear that, but they shouldn't be because you make the difference here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You're the one who makes the quality, the variety, and the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And because WPR matters to you, we're asking you to make a personal contribution to help pay for the programs you listen to at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to WPR before, here's what you can expect, okay? It's a short process, takes just a few minutes. You answer some basic questions, your name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay it.
Yeah, it really is simple. That's all you've got to do. And you can make that first donation to WPR. And when you do, I guarantee you'll feel good about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR possible. Many first-time donors give $10 a month, about $120 a year. The amount, though, is really up to you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Public radio has enriched my life in so many ways. When I was a new mother back in the 1990s, and I became hooked on Wisconsin Public Radio. I've been an avid listener, and each day of my life is enriched because of the depth of the topics offered, the balanced dialogue that the hosts and the guests both offer. The Ideas Network makes me a better mother and a better citizen, and I'm so thankful for it.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Gene Purcell. It is your support during the spring member drive that makes the WPR programs that you depend on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
Yep, you get to pick it, and giving to WPR is easy to do. All we need is a few pieces of information. We'll need your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and then how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, and those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget that exciting, and it is exciting. We're not being facetious here. That dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect. Your opportunity to double the impact of your donation to WPR. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support Wisconsin Public Radio will go twice as far.
You can support the programs you value and show off your WPR pride when you ask for the WPR pint cups. Perfect for your favorite beverage, indoors or out. Give $20 a month or more and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, we'd like to say thank you. And you could also make today the day that you consider increasing your support of WPR by maybe $5 or $10 a month. Again, the amount that you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And when you increase, your first year of contributions will be matched right now.
Thank you so much. Your gift now, so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now, at-home rapid COVID tests. They're on the shelves at pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens. No prescription, no mailing a kit to any lab. Results in minutes. What do you want to know about these antigen tests? Have you bought one and used it? What did you think? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. David O'Connor is the UW Medical Foundation Professor of Pathology and Laboratory Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dave, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Great to be here, Kate.
Well, help us understand what we're seeing in on the pharmacy shelves here, the Binax, Now, Quindel's, QuickView. What are these tests?
Yeah, this is really great and exciting news. These are what we call antigen tests, and they're called antigen tests because they detect little bits of the virus that would be in your nasal samples. And they're just like home pregnancy tests. So the easiest way to think about these is they're pregnancy tests for COVID-19. They're right most of the time, but they're not quite as sensitive as other professional clinical tests. So for a pregnancy test, you take the test at home, but sometimes you have to get it confirmed with a blood test at your obstetrician's office or at your doctor's office. Similarly, with these antigen tests, they're right most of the time, but there are some cases where you might need to get the results confirmed by a PCR. But these convenience, the speed, and the really low cost of these antigen tests make it a game changer in terms of how easy it is to find out whether or not you're infected with the virus. And so I'm extremely excited about them.
You mentioned cost. The retail cost of these tests can range in the ballpark of $24 to $39. Do you think this is a cost barrier for people?
Well, there certainly is a barrier. But I, from my perspective, when I think about the tests, the government reimburses the PCR tests at between $75 and $100 each. And some places charge even more than that for PCR. And so these tests, which are $5 to $10 each, are certainly a barrier if you're paying that out of pocket, but you don't have to pay out of pocket for the PCR. But we're all paying that PCR cost one way or another.
You know,
through taxes and through the government.
Yeah, and these kits, some come in a package of two. Would you, if you get a result and you're concerned, would you follow up and do immediately another test? How would that work?
Well, for these tests, they work really well as soon as you start showing symptoms. And so if you have a positive result, you can be really confident that that positive result is real, and you will want to follow up with your healthcare provider to figure out the next steps. The reason they sell them in kits of two is because they recommend that you take one of these tests, and then if it's negative, you wait 36 or more hours, and then you use the second one. And by taking the test twice, a couple of days apart, you increase the sensitivity of the test, because imagine you're newly infected, and the virus hasn't really reached really high levels in your system yet. That first test might be a false negative, but if you wait 2 days and that virus is shooting up, the amount of virus in your system is increasing, it would be positive on that second retest. And so that's why they're selling it in packages of two.
The State Department of Health Services started an at-home testing program, you know, earlier this year. How do these at-home tests compare to the at-home tests being used by DHS?
Yeah, so this is just an evolution in the convenience and the technologies that's available. So those tests, which were PCR tests, you would get a kit and you would mail it in, and then you would have to wait a couple of days to get the results. This is results in 15 minutes. So you know the answer really, really fast. And so you can think about it kind of like, you know, imagine there's severe weather coming into the area. You could have the most sensitive Doppler 8000 radar that tells you that a tornado is coming. But if that radar takes a long time to process the information, it's not as useful as maybe less effective radio or radar that gives you that information really, really fast. We want the information quickly because if you are positive, you might want to take steps to protect yourself, protect loved ones. And knowing in 15 minutes is much better than knowing in 2 to 3 days.
What do you think about doing this test in the privacy of your own home, or even if you are homebound? What does it open up?
Yeah, all the sorts of options for people who, might not want to go to the doctor, might not have transportation, might be homebound. It's really a great option in all of those cases. The one downside to that is that the manufacturer recommends that you report the results to your healthcare provider so that they can in turn report them to public health. When you have these results that are like home pregnancy tests, you lose some of the ability for your statistics to accurately reflect how many people are being tested and how many people are a positive if they don't follow up with their healthcare provider or are negative. But that's a really small price to pay for the added convenience in making testing so much more accessible. I would love it if the government were to make these tests available for free to remove that cost barrier. But even so, $20 for two tests that are this convenient is, a great advance in the pandemic.
We have UW Pathology and Laboratory Medicine Professor Dave O'Connor is telling us about these at-home rapid COVID tests. What do you think of them? Do you think they'll catch on? Are you concerned about cost at over $20 a kit? Will you buy a kit and use it periodically? And if so, when? Join it at 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead, back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We are getting insights on rapid antigen tests you buy over the counter at the pharmacy and the future of taking COVID tests at home. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, it's spring and our membership drive is underway here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm here with Jean Purcell. The largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. And this drive, it is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a great day to take that important step because today your donation to WPR is going to be matched. That's great news. A group of generous members have created a challenge up to $85,000. So wow. Plenty of room for you. And it means that they will match every gift right now for as long as that money lasts.
Wow. Love it. This is their way of encouraging you to support the variety of programming you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. So double that impact right now. This is a great opportunity. Take it up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And when you make that donation, you will help support programming like The Morning Show. Here on this program, you hear policymakers, you hear experts, you hear politicos answer questions on a wide variety. It can only be called a wide variety because that's what it is, of state, national, and international topics.
Case in point, on Mondays, the State Capitol Report, we cover the legislative sessions, we cover state elections, state budget issues, state Supreme Court, and hear directly from your lawmakers. And we bring you these hour-long book conversations with authors who take us deeply into the issues of our time.
It's true. We cover an awful lot of ground every single week here, and you are part of that. In fact, you are an important, critical part of that as a listener, as a caller, and as a contributor. So support this valuable source of information and access to great guests with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our monthly giving program is becoming so popular. And in fact, we have more than 25,000 sustainers. Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Who make ongoing monthly gifts. And that number is growing day by day.
Yep, and I'm one of them, by the way.
Me too.
I encourage others to give it a try and join me and Kate in becoming sustaining members. We think you will like it. Set up a monthly amount that comes out of your bank account, your credit card. You get to pick how that works. And then that donation continues automatically every single month. It's easy to get started. You can do it with a gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount works for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This member drive, stay hydrated with a pair of WPR steel pint cups. These stackable clean canteen cups are the perfect fit for your outdoor adventures and everyday use. With their eye-catching geometric design, your WPR pride will be on full display. Ask for yours today with your gift of $20 a month or more.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Hi, I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jean Purcell, and it's your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the great programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is, say, $10 a month or $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
We really, really do. And it's important because you love WPR for a whole variety of reasons. But among them, it's your source for intelligent radio. And I'm here to tell you that there are costs associated with this quality, just like with anything. And that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
Making a gift is super quick, easy. You'll be finished in no time flat. Your contribution in any amount, say $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes WPR possible.
Yeah, it really, really does. And this is a great time to consider making that gift because our big, and I mean big with a capital B, dollar for dollar match is still in effect. It's a great time to support the WPR programs you love, and you can give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
I want to give a shout out to Gail in Chippewa Falls, who says, I'm donating to support accurate and timely reporting presented with clarity by WPR's gifted and dedicated journalists. Gail, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now we're talking about having access to fast, affordable, and convenient at-home COVID tests. Major retailers are now stocking these kits. Results in 15 minutes. Will you buy a kit? What questions do you have about antigen tests versus PCR tests? Have you tried mail-in testing through DHS? How did it go? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have UW School of Medicine and Public Health Pathology Professor Dave O'Connor as our guide. Dave, rewind for us. More than a year ago, testing capacity was much more limited, more strained. How much has the testing landscape evolved?
Oh, it's evolved enormously. So at the very beginning, the only people who could run PCR tests were the CDC. And then within a couple of months, tests became available through most hospitals and medical providers. And then by the middle of last year, you could get testing through pharmacies and through mass testing sites. And unfortunately, those early tests were plagued by really, really lengthy turnaround delays. You'd hear stories of it taking 5 or 7 days to get your results back. Because the period when you're contagious with the virus is really short, it's only a couple of days, often that would mean you'd get the results back after the risk of transmitting the virus to anyone else was already over. And so that's one reason why these antigen tests moved in to provide that really immediate 15-minute turnaround, so that if you are positive and you find that out really soon, you can protect the people who you're around. Previously, when it was the PCR test, you'd give the PCR a sample, and then you would go about your normal business, and then in that interval, you were potentially infecting other people. And so these antigen tests are really, really good at finding out whether you're infected quickly and then letting you use that information to reduce the risk that you give the virus to others and reduce your own risk by letting you connect with your healthcare provider more quickly, because the sooner you find out that you're infected, the more treatment options you have.
What do you see by way of schools using these antigen tests?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so in Dane County, where I live, my wife Shelby and I have been able to put these BNAX Now tests into more than 100 K-12 schools in collaboration with the Public Health Madison-Dane County Local Health Department. And they've been using these tests on symptomatic individuals since just about Thanksgiving. And what's been really satisfying is that in many cases, the tests are negative, which is great. People don't have COVID, even if they have symptoms that could be COVID. And so by having these tests, schools get answers really fast. Students and teachers know whether they're infected, and the entire educational system is much, much safer.
Time's so critical. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate, and best of luck with your important pledge drive.
Thank you. Dave O'Connor, professor of pathology and laboratory medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Stay with us. News update is next on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We will be discussing what the Burlington schools are doing to confront racism following a state report that documented a racially hostile environment. But first, it is our spring membership drive that is officially underway at WPR. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Hi, Jean.
Hey, good morning, Kate.
We're here to say that you rely on the Ideas Network for these informative, interesting discussions, and we rely on you to keep programs like The Morning Show going strong.
We sure do, and that's because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And it's why your gift of any amount right now makes such an important difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-202.
And here's such a cool thing. Today, support WPR and your gift will go twice as far.
Nice.
Yes, all donations up to $85,000 will be matched by a group of very generous members.
Yeah, what a great opportunity. And thanks to all of those members who have kicked in to make this possible. You can take advantage of their generosity, take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled. You can do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've been talking about news you can use, right?
Yeah.
Antigen, COVID tests, and what the future holds when you see these on store shelves, how to be an informed consumer about these tests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is such important, valuable information. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
Every day, Monday through Friday, WPR is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every single day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for. WPR is that place. It's one place where that's true every day. So consider a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs you love.
Yeah, think about that $2 for a second. It's hard to buy much for $2 these days. But here at WPR, $2 a day makes an awful lot of news, talk, and music possible. It works out to about $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm Bill from Wausau, Wisconsin, and I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too. I think it's important because things are said and done on the radio that are important, that need to be said, that we don't get on any other radio station. I listen to it all the time. It's on the car, it's on the radio in the morning when we get up, and it's on all day practically, and it's just the way we live. I know that the money is going to be well used. It's a valuable service, and I just feel good about it.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Jean Purcell. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you depend on. And that's why your support during this spring member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is that $10 a month or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And maybe you donated a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, I've got some news for you. You did do your part, but there's more to do because it's that continued support that keeps WPR going.
And if it's been a while since you donated, this is a perfect time to renew at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we will be so glad to have you back.
Indeed. And you can take advantage of the dollar-for-dollar match that we've been talking about this morning. It's a really great opportunity to make your donation to WPR go twice as far. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And as I say, your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Eric in Madison says, after listening to WPR regularly for several years, it is way past time that I support something that I enjoy so much. Eric, thank you so much for your support. Your gift right now, so critical, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now the Burlington Area School District must submit a corrective action plan soon to the Department of Public Instruction addressing a racially hostile environment following an investigation of at least 19 incidents of racial harassment in district records spanning 2016 through last year. We spoke with Darnisha Garbati last week. She's a parent who had tried to get the district to respond to how her daughters were treated.
Being called the N-word on a regular basis, students would yell it as they would be walking through the hallways, or if they would be sitting in class, they would be saying the N-word.
How do you think racism in our education system should be addressed? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Steve Plank is superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. Superintendent Plank, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Yes, good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning. Parent Darnisha Garbati documented this for years. How could these incidents and the environment her daughters faced at Burlington schools just keep going on without action, without consequence for years?
Well, I would just simply mention that, you know, we are a school district. We're inside of a city. We're inside of a state and, frankly, inside of a country that's steeped in racism. And we certainly recognize that the schools can be at the center of that. I would also add that, you know, we've been committed to our ongoing examination of not only our own biases that influence our actions and some of the structures in our educational institutions that can reproduce those inequities and injustices. But we absolutely take reports from students and families very seriously, and we do investigate those as they're brought to our attention.
Why weren't teachers an ally? Why didn't they step in when they witnessed these incidents? Where did the intervention break down?
Well, it's difficult, certainly, for me to go back. As you know, I started in the district in 2019 and saw the state back in 2016. But what I can tell you is that we are very committed to the work that lies ahead of us and collaborating with state agencies, whether that's DPI or other stakeholders. And we are really steeped in the work to dismantle racism, to take it head on, as we think everybody should. And so we recognize that takes time. We have started student clubs at both of our middle schools and high schools to create safe places for students to be, to create places for students to come forward, to have a trusted adult that they can speak to. We've engaged in some critical partnerships with other organizations to help us on this journey as well. We've even, you know, denounced racism publicly on a number of different occasions following things that run contrary to the beliefs of the school system.
So as you embark on this work, as you said, you take it head on, you start student clubs. Who is at the table as your district figures out what these next steps will be to be an anti-racist district? Is it just school board? Is it administration? Will you have grassroots groups getting a voice like the Burlington Coalition for Dismantling Racism?
Well, there's no doubt that as we work through this, our most valuable and most important constituency is our students. We want to and currently are collaborating with our students. We've worked to really remove any sort of adultism from the conversation so that when we sit at the table shoulder to shoulder with kids, we're all in this committed conversation together. So I think that's first and foremost critical. There's no doubt that our Board of Education is a policymaking body, and we take direction as an administration from our school board. But I also know that it is our desire to work collaboratively with stakeholders, be that community members, be that students, staff, or including and up to our Board of Education or others in the Burlington area community. So the goal here is to have, you know, people working together to be able to come up with the very best solutions going forward so that we can address concerns that have been articulated.
We're talking with Steve Plank, superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. Jacob is joining us from Burlington. Hi, Jacob. What is on your mind?
Well, the DPI have documented 19 cases over years, and parents and their supporters who have been speaking out about this for years. I mean, you said in your statement that BASD, when this ruling came out, BASD would never intentionally harm or want to allow a student of color to be heard or to be hurt. But 19 cases, at what point does it become intentional disregard? I think you're a little disingenuous to say there was never intentional after this many cases and many more others undocumented. I think it becomes intentional denial.
Superintendent Plank.
Well, I can certainly appreciate the perception from Jacob that that's intentional denial. I don't believe that that was the case for the school system. I know that, you know, we're talking about incidences that were discipline related that were reported to DPI when asked. And we're also talking about a different report that is intended to be filed specific to discrimination complaints. And so those two things aren't the same in terms of reporting procedures, but we're working with DPI to make sure that we are not in plans, but doing the right work on behalf of all kids.
So the district needs to come up with a plan to prevent discrimination in disciplining students, as well as address the environment and review your practices for reporting discrimination complaints. The plan is due soon. What does your plan entail so far?
I think it's a great question, Kate. DPI pointed to sort of four things, two of them relatively technical and two of them pretty substantive. And the two technical ones had to do with policy and reporting. Our Board of Education did adopt a new policy manual in November, which was part of about a year's long work that they had undertaken. And so that policy, DPI has informed us, the one that was adopted in November, is statutorily compliant, which we were confident of. And we are working with DPI to understand what it is in terms of this reporting. We had spoken to DPI last July to ensure that we were on the right path and got some confirmation that we were. So this was a little surprising to us. But yet again, you know, we respect what DPI is asking for, and we'll do that. The more substantive part about discipline and environmental, we are working to put together a plan that covers categories that range from, you know, curriculum and materials to policies and practices, training and professional development, climate and culture, access and opportunity, those kind of five big broad categories, and how we can break them down. I would want to stress, though, that this plan is really a plan to support what DPI is asking for, and will go to DPI. The real work is going to come after the plan, and that's when we really will have the time to sit down and put stakeholder groups together and have conversations. Because this 30-day window is really about, frankly, complying with what DPI is seeking. And so this plan is the beginning stages, certainly not the end.
Let's bring in Jay now in Green Bay. Hi, Jay.
Good morning. Great topic. I just wanted to make a comment on a personal experience that I had. I was an ESL teacher in Green Bay when the previous administration took office, and I worked with kids that were primarily pre-K through third and fourth grade. And while the overwhelming majority of the kids were super sweet and age-appropriate with their behavior and their comments, there was a percentage of kids that were consistently inappropriate and said really terrible things to the kids. And the truth of it is that what they were saying was not their words. They were parroting something they had heard, which makes it very challenging for a teacher, administrator, or whatever, because the kids are in the building for 8 hours a day. The other 16, they're somewhere else. And how you address that issue when they're hearing that kind of stuff outside of the building, especially from someone that they respect or, you know, idolize, is extremely challenging for a school to deal with.
Jay, thank you for that. You know, Jay saying parroting what they have heard outside the school. How do you get your parents? How do you get your community to embrace this equity work, Superintendent?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we definitely recognize that this can be radical work. It's radical change. It's hard work. It's work that's going to take time, and measuring the impact of that, as Jay is mentioning, because we do represent kind of a microcosm of our larger community, and we know that. And so we recognize that this quest for justice for people of color, it requires deep soul searching and is a very dynamic and very complex experience. And so that's even why I was suggesting that the plan for us to submit is really just the beginning, because the real work of changing hearts and changing minds and working through attitudes and beliefs, that is a much more human experience. And we are talking about a human rights issue. And so we recognize the need to really take the time to do it right, not to just, you know, go through the motions.
Very quickly, I want to talk about personnel. Last fall, a teacher incorporated a Black Lives Matter lesson into her curriculum. She came under fire from parents, ultimately resigns. A high school teacher tells students about plans to go to Washington for Trump's rally before the Capitol insurrection in January. That teacher is placed on non-disciplinary administrative leave. What is your approach to investigating these incidents and teacher discipline?
Well, just to be clear, Kate, the teacher that you're referencing from last fall, you said that she ultimately resigned. That's not true. She is currently teaching at an elementary school here in our district, just to be clear about that.
Okay, thank you.
The teacher that is on leave, we are investigating just to ensure that there were no policy violations, that there were no state or federal crimes that were committed, And that is a process of interviewing kids and talking with parents and interviewing colleagues and staff. And so when it comes to those personnel matters, we definitely take those very seriously. We want to understand what has occurred and not just, you know, whatever might be out there on social media. We really need to do our due diligence to ask the different staff conversations and make sure that what is going on with kids in the classroom is representative of the fidelity of the instructional model that we've embraced.
Superintendent Plank, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Steve Plank is superintendent of the Burlington Area School District. I'm Kate Archer-Kend. This is the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Be sure to stay with us next hour as we talk about how to be social again because, you know, face it, we're all a bit rusty. And now let's check in on our spring member drive that is underway. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Hi, Jean.
Good morning, Kate. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy, programs like The Morning Show. Support from people like you is the largest piece of the funding for the WPR programs you value, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And it's a great time for that support because a group of generous members have created a challenge up to $85,000, if you can believe it, to inspire you to support WPR today. And what a great challenge. Thank
Love
you
it.
So much for that. So for as long as it lasts, your gift will be matched.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. That is such good news. And there is still room in the challenge for your gift. So double your impact for WPR with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, in the last segment, we heard about racism in a Wisconsin school district, how it's being dealt with. We had the superintendent on as a guest. We heard from listeners, and we had a conversation about one of the most important topics that we are talking about these days. And these are the types of conversations we have every single day here on the Ideas Network and the kind of conversations you can count on from The Morning Show.
Absolutely. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And get your pair of WPR pint cups. They're stackable, steel, clean canteen cups, and they are perfect for everyday use or for your next outdoor adventure. So you can support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR and have a drink of your favorite beverage at the same time. But it all starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support during this spring member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And a reminder that today, if you support WPR, your gift will go twice as far. And that's because all donations, all the way up to $85,000, will be matched by a group of very generous members.
Love it. Take advantage of this offer, and your support for the WPR programs you love will be doubled at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we hear from listeners all throughout our drive, and that's one of the great benefits of member drives. We heard from Sharon in Appleton, who says, I am donating on behalf of a friend of mine who passed away from breast cancer and was an avid WPR listener. Mm. Well, Sharon in Appleton, thank you so much for your gift, and thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll be right back.